The Lord said to Moses in the land of Egypt, and this, by the way, is from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the very end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he'd washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Our sermon text today is John chapter 13, verses 1 to 15, and verses 34 and 35, the gospel that you've just heard. The sermon title is "Jesus Loves His Own." The term "dependent" explains a very important aspect of the relationship between children and parents. From infancy on, parents provide material, financial, and emotional support to their children. The infant child is helpless. He depends on his parents for food, drink, clothing, shoes, shelter, cleaning, bathing, medical care, and personal attention. Without any of these things, the infant may become sick or die. Eventually, the child grows up and learns to obtain these needs for him or herself, and so becomes independent. In our gospel lesson this evening, you see Jesus preparing his disciples for his departure from this world. The Apostle John here calls the disciples Jesus' own. Verse 1 states, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." In this gospel, the Apostle John wants you to know that Jesus continued to provide for the needs of his own, even when he was within several hours of his arrest and his passion. Jesus did not neglect his own, but continued to care for them all the way up to his ascension to his Father in heaven. Jesus showed that loving care in the gospel today through the washing of the disciples' feet. And that is something that normally a parent does for their child. This text then raises a whole set of questions. Did Jesus continue to care for his disciples after his ascension to the Father in heaven? Does Jesus care for his own in the church today? Does Jesus sitting at the right hand of God mean that Jesus got the church going and then left it up to finish the job? Are Christians dependents of Jesus, or are we independent? The first thing you learn from this text is that you are not independent. Look at verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another." By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Through this new commandment, Jesus made Christians mutually dependent upon each other. You are to care for each other in the same way that Jesus cared for his own. Now, that doesn't mean that you must literally wash each other's feet, but it does mean that you should serve each other in your church and in your family, at the very least. The second thing you learn from this text is that you are to forgive each other your sins, especially those that you commit against each other. Look at verse 10. Jesus said, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean." This refers to the customs of the day, where a person would bathe not every day, but on occasion, but he would wash his feet daily to prevent the dirt from the street coming into the main living rooms of the house or their bedrooms. Verse 10 refers to the relationship between baptism and the keys, that is, the office of the keys. Baptism is a once-in-a-lifetime event which completely cleans you from sin in God's sight for Jesus' sake. The keys, that is, the two keys, confession and absolution, are daily or weekly events in which you remember your baptism by asking for and receiving the forgiveness of sins for Jesus' sake. By his example in our text, Jesus shows you that he wants the church to continue baptizing and forgiving sins until he returns. And that includes, besides the formal forgiveness of sins which you get in church every Sunday, it includes forgiving each other, apologizing to each other, making amends when you need to, and all the other things that are necessary for maintaining a long-term relationship. The third thing you learn from this text is that all this took place during or after the Passover meal and the Lord's Supper, as verse 2 notes. This means that the Lord's Supper is part of Jesus' ongoing care for his own in the church. Through the supper, which you again partake of this evening here, Jesus gives to his own his true food, that is, his body and blood. Jesus did not leave us Christians to fend for ourselves, but in this holy meal, he continues to provide you richly and daily with all that you need for the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of your bodies, and the life everlasting. It's all here. The fourth thing you learn from this text is that you are truly dependent on Jesus. Verse 8, Jesus told Peter, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Jesus said the same thing in different words in John chapter 15, verse 5 to 7. I quote, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you." End of quote. Notice that Jesus says here, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." He didn't say you could do something. He said you can do nothing, by which he means nothing that is of any consequence in spiritual terms or that is worthy of consideration by God. And this is the principle of absolute dependence in spiritual matters, especially in the matters pertaining to justification and righteousness before God. Without Jesus, you are nothing but sinners in God's sight. With Jesus, you are his own and God's children. The law application of this text is that without Jesus, you are truly poor, miserable sinners who deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment, as we admit to ourselves and to others in the confessions of sins in the liturgy. Without Jesus washing through baptism, you have no part in Jesus or his kingdom, as he tells Peter in verse 8. All your good works, all your charity, no matter how impressive it may be to people of the world, they're all filthy rags that also need cleaning through the waters of baptism in order to even be worthy of God. The gospel application of this text is that Jesus has nothing but unfailing love and care for his own. He never gave up on Judas, though Judas gave up on him. He never gave up on Peter, and after Peter's repentance, restored him to full rights within the company of the apostles, and ended up being the leader of the apostles, though he had betrayed and denied Jesus. Through these and other examples of Jesus' love and care for his own, you know that he will never give up in his love and care for you. No matter how distant Jesus may seem to be at times, he is right here in the sacrament of the altar. No matter how guilty you feel for some sin against God's law, Jesus is right there in his sacrament of baptism and in the keys of the absolution. No matter how mute God may seem at times, Jesus and God is here, right in the scriptures, all the time, with his words to you. Jesus has not left you alone, but comes to you regularly with all his love and care through his word and sacraments. On this Maundy Thursday, as on every day when Christians gather for this meal, Jesus' body and blood are truly present to nourish you for everlasting life. In our blessed Savior's name, amen.